Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 136. And I am Stephen Zimmer, and tonight we've got a great show lined up for you with a very fascinating guest. And first, you know, we will definitely take a few moments just to kind of ease into the episode. And with me tonight are, I hope, I can't see if the connection is holding here, but it's Holly Philippi and the one and only Daniel Dark. Daniel is actually feeling a little bit ill tonight, and so he's going to be soldiering through as best he can. So if he happens to go offline tonight, definitely we've got to give him a pass tonight. But he's soldiering through, and he's going to be making hopefully a few comments. But yeah, Holly's going to be with us, and we're having a good show here with I guess it's going to be covering quite a few topics. So let me get Daniel in for a second here while I try to get Holly online. Daniel, you've had a rough day, but you're here.
Yeah, I'm here. I've had better days than what I've had today. I've had, lack of better terms, almost like a mini stroke today, and nothing new for me or anything. So here I am tonight. So,
yeah, soldiering through.
Yeah, there's Holly.
Do what you have to do is, you know, when you can do it. Because I haven't been promised tomorrow, so I got to do what I can do today.
True.
Well, don't hesitate to take off for the night if you don't feel like it, of course. But glad you're here.
We've got on tonight, I wanted to hear, you know,
definitely,
so much of what he's got to say and stuff. So, you know, he's got so much credentials and so much experience and knowledge that I really wanted to hear him tonight. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. We haven't had a guest with the depth of business history that tonight's guest has, and you know, just in terms of just pure, you know, entrepreneurship, starting business, successful businesses, consulting. I mean, it's just a lot of different areas that, you know, typically we don't have a chance to really explore in full on the show, somebody like this. And the thing that's really cool is he does also connect perfectly with what we do. We're going to get into it a little bit later, but, you know, he does, you know, have a big publishing background, and he's an author, best-selling author. So it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of explore, you know, some definite business topics that will relate very well to all creatives, and, you know, go over some territory that, you know, we don't often get to explore. And that's going to be one of the things I'm personally looking forward to tonight. I know Holly is.
Yes, I most certainly am.
Being ex-business myself, you know, that is one of the things that I wanted to hear from, you know, because that's what I did for years was businesses and stuff, and not, you know, wasn't in the publishing industry and stuff, but, you know, to have somebody that has all the business experience plus the publishing experience,
right,
a big, you know, big plus to be able to listen to for a little while and get some good information off of.
We will be taking
comments and questions from the chat room, as always, of course. See a David Sheridan
has already made
an appearance in the creative flame himself. And he's burning it up in the chat room there, but getting us underway. But we will open up a little later in the show once we get the flow going. We will open up for some calls at 619-639-4616. We'll probably keep the lines closed for Roughly about the first hour of the show, but then for the last 30 minutes, we'll be popping it open for some calls if you have comments and questions. And then, too, I do want to just go ahead, because I know we're going to get into a lot of cool discussions tonight. I want to go ahead and promote next week's show, because we have a special Halloween show with the one and only Tim Wagner, who's just a phenomenal writer, and one of the best creative writing instructors in the nation, and I'm not exaggerating there. I mean, truly is. Who is going to be
with us. He's also a Bram Stoker's winner.
Yeah, Bram Stoker award-winning author, and a true master of the horror genre, too. And just perfect fit with Halloween. And Daniel is going to be on for that show, and I know Michael West is going to be doing next week's show with us and myself. So the three of us will be on and having a special Halloween show with Tim Wagner. I know Daniel got to meet Tim at some Imaginariums, so I know Daniel's a little familiar with him.
Yeah, he was actually on the horror Bump in the Night with me.
Yeah.
At Imaginarium, so, you know, and he was the one that I actually took one of his workshops, the first Imaginarium that I came to. You know, he was actually teaching a workshop that year, and on how to write and stuff. So that was one of the first workshops that I'd ever seen on writing.
Yeah, he is one of the authors that gives workshops at Imaginarium. That his workshop alone gives you more value than the cost of a full weekend registration. I mean, the workshops are just amazing when it comes to Tim, and something we hear constantly from people that attend. And yeah, he's going to be giving insights on writing. It's what he's up to. It's going to be fun because we get to the personal side of Tim, and that's one of the fun things about our show. And then we do have another guest to be announced the week after. But the week after that, I will go ahead and mention it. We will finally have Michael Williams aboard here, and he's also
he'll be on the 14th.
Phenomenal creative writing instructor. Also in that truly elite class of writer. He's one of the founding authors of the Dragonlance series, if you recall, remember that great fantasy series. He's one of the founding authors in that group. And now he's releasing
brilliant one of the ones after
mythic fiction.
Hickman and Weiss did it.
Yes. Yeah, he's on that first wave. He's now doing just brilliant literary mythic fiction novels and just true masterpieces of writing, and I can't say enough about them, how high quality these pieces are. And so he's going to be talking about his City Quartet and all kinds of stuff. And life as a university instructor too. So he's got a PhD
he's done a lot
University
of things.
Of Louisville. Yeah, so he's going to be talking about a whole lot of things, and we got some good shows coming up with some really really top end folks. So yeah, spread the word, and also if you want to support us, Seventh Star Press is on Patreon, and these shows aren't free for us to run. They do cost, and a lot of work goes into them. And so definitely if you feel inclined and want to show some love, please become a patron of Seventh Star Press over at Patreon. That's patreon.com/7thstarpress spelled out. We definitely appreciate the help. But yeah, we've got quite a lineup there, Holly. It's gonna be
I know Tony Actor's out there, Kenzie Michaels out there. Yeah, you guys will definitely want to stay tuned as long as you can for this one. And I said, you may want to grab a pen and pencil because I've got mine, because this guy here, and you definitely, Mitchell is definitely going to give us information that we're going to want to jot down. It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
This man knows what he's doing. Yes.
Yeah, definitely want to give a shout
he's
out to our friend Tony Acree of Hydra Publications. And glad to hear Kenzie has joined us in the chat room. And the action is stirring up in the chat room already. So that's good to see.
They're excited. That's good. They're excited. I'm excited.
So would you like to? I think let's go ahead, because I think our guest is actually on deck as we speak here. So I think we ought to give him the grand entrance and just go ahead and bring him aboard here. And first of all, he is known as the AHA guy at ahathat.com, and he's a guy that spans the world of business, the world of publishing. He's an accomplished entrepreneur, and the thing that I was just blown away by is created 20 businesses in Silicon Valley, including four publishing companies that have published over 800 books. And he is a TEDx speaker, international best-selling author with, get this, 60 business books. And he's also provided consulting to over 100 companies and advised over 500 CEOs on critical business issues. And he's been the chairman of a board on the chairman of the board of a NASDAQ listed company. And so, that's that's the guest that we have tonight. And it is the one and the only Mitchell Levy. And we welcome you to the Star Chamber Show. Good evening.
Hello, Mitchell.
Good evening. Hi, nice to be here. It sounds pretty cool when you guys read it.
It sounds exhausting, I'm sure, when we read it. You're thinking, I do all this? Yes, and I still have sanity.
Well, not one time. Not one at a time. You know, you get some of that stuff done, you have to do things in parallel. So.
That's true.
Yes.
That's very true. Well, I wanted to start off. I have a question. What is your inspiration behind the AHA book, and what's this I hear about they call you the AHA guy?
No, it's a great question. Typically, if you spend a half hour, most of the time when I have people dial in and do one-on-one strategy sessions, I always promise an aha moment. I always promise an opportunity. An aha moment is when that light bulb goes off. It's when you think about the world in a slightly different way. It's when you have inspiration to do something different. So that's why the aha guy. And actually how that came around is I actually, at one point in time, I call myself the thought leader architect. And I was the first thought leader architect in the world. And the problem is, although it sounds like a super cool name, the issue is people didn't really know what it was. So even my friends who had clients and business that they could have referred to me never referred it to me. So I did that for about 2 years, and I saw the same sort of friend multiple times at a conference. And one time I sat down with him, I said, "So tell me why I'm not getting the recommendations." He goes, "Mitchell, people don't know what the thought leader architect is. You know who you are?" And I go, "No, tell me." He goes, "You're the aha guy." And, I didn't accept it right away. But, here's the thing. I tell other people, when people give you a present, take it right away. I didn't accept it right away, but it took me a while. I think it might have taken me 6 months to a year before I saw him again. And he said, "Aha, the aha guy." And I'm like, "Okay, that's my new name." So that's how that came about.
That is awesome. It's funny how things work out like that.
it wasn't that he gave it to me. It was simply when you introduce yourself to somebody, you got 3 seconds to make an impression. So what
That's
are you going to say? Now, here's the impression. Not just who you are, right? But if you can make an impression that somebody remembers you so that they want to refer you to somebody else, that's where it's really cool. So who wants to refer a thought leader architect, right? I don't know. Hey, can I set you up with an interview to the aha guy? And they say, "Am I going to get an aha?" And the person says, "Yes." I'm like, "Okay."
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that thought leader architecture. I thought that was that's a clever, little thought there, and I was going to ask you to elaborate on that. Exactly what is a thought leader architect? And I see you throw together, it's like a social media strategy, a book publisher, blogger, you do webinars, seminars, and all these different things. But yeah, I just love that that name.
I have to say, architecturally, I love that name first. And, you know, the cool part about LinkedIn, I could tell you that I was the first thought leader architect in the world, because that's also what's cool about today's technology. And what a thought leader architect was, from my perspective, what a thought leader architect is someone who goes into corporations and help them architect what their thought leadership should be. So it's how the employees work, how they interact, who does work, what platforms do they play on, how do they play, how do they repurpose content, how do you do things in such a way where it you're not adding work to people's jobs, but you're empowering them to be more successful. To me, that's what an architect is. Is they're putting a roadmap. It's, you know, like an architect for a house. It's an architect for a corporation to embody thought leadership. Mm. And it's one of those jobs that I think has a short-term life. It, you know, it's like a year or, you know, I'm sorry, a decade or so. And then everyone will just do it automatically. It'll just be bundled into the probably the chief marketing officer's job or other areas, right? So,
right.
But it was – I thought it was a cool thing to think about, and I just kind of thought it would take off. And, you know, good news is I was amiable and flexible to do something else, and hence the aha guy.
Well, I think it's fabulous. I love it. Well, Stephen, what was your question that you was really wanting to know?
Well, there's so many things I'd like to explore with Mitchell tonight. I mean, it's yeah, it's just amazing. Just, you know, just looking over his background and, you know, and his activity, of course, in the publishing industry. And, you know, I definitely want to say, you know, our listeners are very keen on the business side, because most of them, they are creatives. They are authors, artists, filmmakers, et cetera. But they are serious
right.
about either, you know, getting to the point where they're doing it as a living, or they are already doing it as a living. So the business side is very, very much of interest to our audience. And in time management for the independent creatives is critical. And, you know, you had some interesting things that I was reading about taking content and making it kind of like taking a piece of content and making it expand to be effective on multiple platforms. And then also you had some things about time management when it comes to social media. And that's always, you know, a big concern of a lot of creatives out there. And I would like to we can start with either of those topics, but I'd like to get into both of those for sure. But as far as, you know, making, you know, a piece of content work on multiple platforms, or if you'd like to address, you know, better time management and social media, because I thought, yeah,
cool.
definitely love to hear your thoughts
happy
on that.
I'm happy to cover both, and let me just plant the seed based on how you position the question, and the seed being you have a lot of creatives out there who are interested in figuring out how to make a business about what they're doing. And so I am happy to cover that too. So I will be – so let me just put that on the queue as something that's off script.
Okay.
And I'm happy to talk about that. So let's cover that.
Awesome.
So first, let's talk about repurposing content.
Let's
see. Let's start off with the end result. If you're doing things properly in the business world today, we'll start off with the fact that we do business with those people we know, like, and trust. So The question is, how do people get to know you? Now, on the like part, that's once they interact with you, and how do people get to trust you? And there are a number of different ways to do it, and part of the how do you get people to know you is you produce and share content. Some of the content's yours, some of the content's other people. You share content that your audience resonates with. So what's really fascinating in today's world, there are so many different places to share content. And sometimes people think, and this is tough for creatives, you create this beautiful masterpiece and it looks gorgeous and I want to share it exactly as is, and that may work on one and only one platform. Well, you know, the thing is, not everyone's on that platform. Your audience may not be there. Your audience may be somewhere else. So I created a website and a business. It's called Thought Leader Life. So for those that are online at the moment, you can go to thoughtleaderlife.com. And you could see what we do there. And what I do, one of the tabs is called the blueprint. And so what I'm demonstrating on Thought Leader Life is how to start. And the first piece of content is a video. So how to start with a video interview. So typically what happens is I will interview an expert. and we'll interview the expert for a half hour. And we'll interview them on video, and we will simultaneously, not just do I do the interview, but we'll also stream live on Facebook. Then afterwards, we take that video, and we also share it on YouTube. And then I've got a team that will listen to the video and create a blog post. And what they'll also do is they will strip out the audio, and they'll post it on a podcast channel. So now we take that audio and we get it posted on, in this case, we're doing it on a podcast channel called For Immediate Release, which is on iTunes, and it's under iTunes, under my brand, Thought Leader Life. And what they'll also do is I'll have another team member who will listen to the content and create aha moments. So what I'll tell you is out of a half-hour interview, an interactive discussion like this, there typically is about 30 to 40, sometimes 50 aha messages. An aha message is a bite-sized quote of information that tells a story, that elicits an action. And so out of every interview, we also will produce 40 or so aha messages. And so what I end up doing these days is I end up getting a co-host that joins me for a month. And that co-host then finds four people to interview. So we'll produce four, sometimes five interviews together with the co-host. So what does that mean? We are producing five videos, five audios, six blog posts, because we create a summary blog post. Then what we've done, because every half hour is about 40 or 50 aha messages, what I call an aha book in the Aha That platform has 140 aha messages. So then what we do is we also create a aha book. And we may turn that book into a PDF and also a Kindle. So now we have a book that we put on Kindle. And then every aha message, all 140 of them, are now immediately shareable through the Aha That platform on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google+. So the interesting part, time-wise, because I have a team who's doing the work, my time spent is coaching and interacting with the co-host and then having fun with the guests when they're online. The rest of the stuff happens automatically. But what you can see is that we're taking a video and turning it into an audio, into a blog post, and into a set of aha messages that are then immediately or over time shared on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+. So a single piece of content is then turned into multiple formats and shared on a number of different platforms.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah, that is impressive. Yeah, that definitely, because that's one of the things that's always a big concern with, you know, creatives, because they want to maximize that, and there's just so much in terms of, you know, the number of platforms out there and the number of, you know, things that can be done, and they don't always think of those dynamics of, you know, hey, I've got a video, and yeah, I can break that down audio, I can take that into blog format, and they don't always think of all the ways that can just multiply off like an original, you know, piece. And so that's very helpful. And when it comes to platforms, I wanted to ask you this because now, you know, of course, we all know that, you know, when you post something on a Facebook page, it doesn't always get seen by all the people that like it. You know, it's almost like they want to influence you to pay to boost your post to get seen and things like that. And so, you know, it's getting harder to get seen on some platforms. And so there's new emerging platforms, you know, like Minds or, you know, others that are emerging now. What is your take on the effective platforms that you advise for creatives today to focus on? If, you know, if you were to give some insight on that and new platforms that are emerging, are there any of the new crop that are coming up that you recommend?
Ooh, that's a great question. So it would be little me not to at least give a plug for the platform that I have. So I'll share that. But then what I want to do is I'm going to leave you with an aha message it's not really an aha, but I'm going to give you an aha to think about. Okay, so here's a platform. It's called ahathat.com. We currently have 750,000 users, so ahathat.com. We have 750,000 users. And if you're looking for content to share, we have 46,000 aha messages, and the platform is free to use, free to share. So
wow.
Please go there and start using it.
AHAT.com, right?
AHA. Well, it's AHA, AHATHAT.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
AHA that. Yeah.
So it's AHA that. So okay. So it's hard for me not to at least mention that. And since I'm, if you don't mind, if people are interested in listening to AHA messages, we just released AHA That Radio. So it's AHAThatRadio.com, which streams the author reads their AHA books, and then we stream it continuously 24 hours a day on AHA That Radio.
Amazing.
Okay. So let's go to your specific question. What platform should I use today, and what are the cool new platforms coming out? So first, I want to agree with you. There are a myriad of platforms that do so many things. It is so impossibly hard to keep up. And you have to decide whether or not you want to be a forward thinker and try to get on the newest, latest platforms that are out there, or if you want to be able to just join those on the back end, or if you want to hope that it all goes away and it goes back to the way things were. By the way, that latter thing is not going to happen. Here's the best, most important advice I could think of. First of all, ignore all the technology and go to the people today who are your customers and find out where they're playing. If your customer base is primarily on Instagram, well, then you need to play on Instagram. If your customer base is, and fill in the blank or whatever, thank you, by the way. If your customer base is on whatever platform, whether it's something you know or you don't know, if you have a bunch of clients who are doing something new you hadn't heard of, hey, figure out what that something new is. Because at the end of the day, if I do an amazing job on Facebook, but typically my clients are not people who are going to hang out on Facebook, then I'm on Facebook for a different reason, but not because I'm interested in attracting clients. Right, so that's probably the first thing to think about, and this is what I'll say the same for a book or for anything we do, is who is the person who's going to pay us money for doing the things that we want to do? Right, if work equals play and we play all the time, if what sort of playthings can we do that there's somebody out there that wants what that is, will pay us for it, and that question you could ask yourself on everything you're doing. And so that, to me, that's the AHA most messages, is don't just play on a new place because everyone says, hey, here's a new place to play. You play there because, A, it's either super easy, or you have a partner who wants to get you there, or more importantly, it's where your clients play and it's easier to attract them.
Right. So, yeah, that way you don't waste your time putting all your eggs in this basket over here when nobody's going to pick one up, you know. Focus on where they're at. That's brilliant. Yes.
With your business, which one do you play on right now?
Oh, thank you for asking that question, because there was a point I missed, and I wanted to make sure I added it. It is hard-pressed. So as a business person, particularly a B2B business person, it is hard not to play on LinkedIn. It's my primary platform. And one of the things that I'd say for anyone who's listening, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, at some point in time, if somebody hears your name, whether or not they see it because you gave them a business card or somebody else talked about them, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go to Google or Bing or whatever search engine they use. They're going to go to Google and they're going to type in your name. So for those that are listening right now, go to Google, type in your name. What comes up? The search engine companies are spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to ensure that your name comes up with their platform. So let's say you're a creative. You went out once and you grabbed your name and it's sitting on LinkedIn, but you never updated it. If I run across you and I type in your name and it's up on LinkedIn and it doesn't really look good at all, I may not go to the next step. So you want to make sure that you present yourself well. And what I will tell you is one of the places that I would encourage you to make sure you have at least a good enough looking profile is LinkedIn. It is your 24 hours a day, 7 day a week billboard. And it's just one of those things that will bring you people and awareness when you're not doing anything on it. And so step one is to create a good LinkedIn profile. And, you know, and I work with people, and we actually published a book of somebody who talks about how to create a good LinkedIn profile and how to use LinkedIn to make business. And I could recommend you to her if you're interested. And you could also
definitely
go to YouTube and say, how do I create a good LinkedIn profile, you know, and learn a lot. Otherwise, Rhonda Scheer is the person we work with. And I'll say there are a ton of people who do LinkedIn profile work. And like I said, we have a good book on that as well. And it's
okay.
Really, the book is called Converting Connections to Cash and Relationships to Revenue. Right? And so to answer your question, I like LinkedIn. I also spend time on Facebook because I like the personal side of some of the relationships that I develop. And I do agree with you. It is so frustrating when you got a great piece of news and three people see it, or 33 people see it, or 300 people, depending on who your audience is, that those numbers may be small, right? And sometimes you put something out there and you're like, God, that got a lot of views. Why did that happen? Right? And, you know, it's trying to figure that out. So, yes, if you really want visibility, you got to pay for it. But I still play on Facebook. And then I do a little work on Snapchat. I still tweet fairly often. Most of the tweeting stuff I do is now automated. You know, so it's either somebody on my team, or it's done through the AhaVat platform. There are many other tools that people use to automate their social. I do a little bit of work on Instagram, but most of my audience, most of the people who are interested, if we're creating a book, and for me, the author of a book is using the book to demonstrate they have expertise, to show to the world that you should trust them because they're an expert in their space. So on the know, like, and trust factor, we do business with those we know, like, and trust. A book, and certainly something we create, we do it super fast, helps on the know part and helps on the trust part. Our books can't help on the like part. That's how you have to like somebody based on interacting with them. And so to us, LinkedIn is one of the best places for that. And then also word of mouth marketing, which is not a social network, but word of mouth and getting the message out. So if you communicate effective messages on social media, here's the one thing that most people kind of forget. You should not be going on social media to try to sell yourself, right? Because no one's going to say, oh, that sounded really good. Let me buy that product. It's a good price, right? We don't really do that. People buy when they're ready. And so if you're communicating a message that resonates with people, then they may actually remember you at the time they're ready to buy. Remember the word I'm using, they may remember you. The other thing is, if you communicated an interesting message and people then said, oh, yeah, I know that Mitchell Levy guy. He does a done-for-you book publishing service. And somebody, they're in a conversation in the next half week or week, and somebody says, man, I've been trying to write a book for a year and I can't do it. They're, you know, you should meet Mitchell Levy, the AHA guy, right? That happens because I may have provided value to the person that I'm interacting with, and it's the reference to somebody else that adds more value. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I believe so. So I was going to – you were talking about – we're still talking about the social media craze, but – You made a point on one of the sites that you can do social media. You can spend 5 minutes or less a day. Now, how do you spend 5 minutes? I would love to know this because I spend way too much time.
Lots of
way too much time marketing on social media.
Oh Lord, we all do. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't disagree with you. And I spend more. What I want to do with this is give you a feeling like if you only spent 5 minutes a day, how you would do it. And then if you decided to spend 50 minutes a day or more, then you've got the right percentages. So here's an interesting thing to think about. So we introduced this term to the world, social media, and it's two words, right? So you could put up your two fingers in the air and do the quote and say it's the word social plus the word, ready, double quote, double fingers, media. Now, what happens when people hear the word social media, or hear the phrase social media, they hear one word. They hear media. And it's kind of like for those parents who are listening and for you guys, it's kind of like if you ever brought your kid into a store and they happen to have a loudspeaker throughout the entire store and the person behind the podium with the loudspeaker says, man, you're cute. Your kid is cute. Do you want to say hi? And you as a parent are cringing and say, no, don't do that. What does your kid do? They go, hey, look at me. I'm cool. Look at me. You can hear me. Look at me. Right? Well, that's kind of what we do on social media. We have a microphone. We have a camera. And what most people do is they say, hey, look at me. I'm cool. Buy my product. Bye. And their audience runs away. Right? So what you want to think about is the phrase social media has two words, and 80% of the time you spend on social media should be focused on social. Only 20% should be focused on the fact that it's media. And so let me give you an example. If you want to do social media in 5 minutes a day, here's what I recommend. And for those so here's when I'm talking to a CEO and I'm talking to a C-suite executive that is a major company, and they say, oh, I have my admin or I have so-and-so do my social media. I said, I want you to spend at least 5 minutes a day. If nothing else, make 5 minutes to do it, and here's what I recommend. Okay, so this is what I'll say. Is when you wake up in the morning, share one, two, or three pieces of content. Spend 1 minute. Spend 20% of your time sharing something that you liked. And once again, you share it on the platform that your audience is typically at. So if it's meant for your internal employees, maybe you just share it on the internal company website. If it's meant for your potential clients or other people, then, and if you're in a business world, you might share it as a post on LinkedIn. All right, so share one, two, three pieces of content. And this is what I'll also say is you can go to Aha That. We got 46,000 pieces of content if you're looking for something to share. But basically share one piece of content or a couple pieces of content, but spend a minute doing it. And then go away, come back in the afternoon and spend 80% of your time, basically 4 minutes, responding to the people who touch your content, right? So I'll give you the real-world analogy. Is you're sitting at your desk. Let's say you're in an office environment or even if you're at a Starbucks. You're sitting at your desk, and somebody brings you a coffee. And let's say you don't say anything. And then the next day you're sitting at the same place, and they bring you the coffee again. And you don't say anything, or you send something to the printer, and they see that your print job's there, and they send you the printer, and you drop it. Oh, hey, here's your print job I found on the printer, and you just ignore them. How many times will you be ignored before the person who brings you the stuff will stop bringing you the stuff? Right? In the physical world, we kind of know that if somebody does something nice for us, we say thank you, or how are you, or we have a conversation. So how come on social media when people like our stuff, love our stuff, forward our stuff, share our stuff, that we actually ignore them? So I'm just saying for 80% of the time you post stuff on social media, touch the people who touch your content.
That's brilliant. Yes, because the other ones that's going to also, obviously they're interested and they're looking, so they're going to come back. So you could even grow everybody should think about that, but we don't, you know, and that's brilliant because that's how you can build your newsletters. If you're still, you know, using the newsletters as an author or your group pages on even Facebook, you know, they may even come over there. So yeah, that's a brilliant way because these are people that are truly interested in what you're doing. And that way you're not wasting time on those that could care less.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of forget that, right? It's because what happens, here's what's really one of the things we do, and you guys as publishers, you guys do this too. We we run an Amazon bestseller campaign for our authors. And so when we run an Amazon bestseller campaign, the goal is at a point in time, what we're doing is we're offering the particular book that we have on the marketplace, we're offering it as a Kindle version for a period of time where it's free. And so what we want is we want a number of people to actually download the Kindle version. Well, one of the things that's really easy, so we do all the marketing. We've got a bunch of different groups. We have Facebook groups. We have a newsletter. We've got a number of different places where we send email to. We post on social. But one of the things I also do is those people who have been touching my content for the last X many weeks that I've interacted with them and I've said thank you or how are you or interacted with them, when I send a private message that says, oh, hey, guess what? We're running an Amazon Day campaign today. Would you mind downloading this book? It's free. I don't have anyone who says Mitchell got lost, right? I have people say, oh, my God, I'd love to. Or when we hit number one, one of the things I did, we have a book right now we're doing, and it hit number one in U.S., Canada, Australia. It hit number two in Japan, all under the categories parenting. And the book is called The Unofficial Hermione Granger Life Lessons and Words of Wisdom. And so a phenomenal book. And so by the time I started sharing with people individually, it already hit number one. So my message was, hey, this hit number one in U.S. and Canada. It was before it hit it on Australia. Would you mind continuing the momentum? You know, and so the feedback I got, yes, done, thanks, congrats. Right? And it's because I have a relationship with some of the people, whether or not I actually have a ongoing business relationship, we have a social media relationship, you know, because when I see their stuff that they're posting, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to like it, love it, share it, forward it.
Right. Right.
Hey, Mitchell, you said something a second ago. This is a little off topic and everything, but you said something a second ago about C-suite. Do you know Jeffrey? You do?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a Hero Club member, a C-suite network advisor. I'm about to become a C-suite radio. So we're about to open up a C-suite radio program. And for those who are interested, somewhere in December, what I've been able to do is I'm crowdsourcing a book with so for those that don't know Jeffrey Hazel, it's the C-Suite Network. He's got a number of people who are both C-Suite advisors, so these are advisors to C-Suite executives. They have people in what's called the Hero Club, and the Hero Club are CEOs that are looking to bounce ideas off each other. And then he has a much larger network of people who are just part of the C-Suite network. In December, they have a conference. got it. In December, they've got a conference. And what I ended up doing is I'll be at the conference. It's in New York City. And I reached out to the 200-plus C-Suite advisors and said, listen, I'd love to crowdsource a book in our AHA That platform. And the book is going to be titled Being an Effective C-Suite Executive. And so I ended up having 42 contributors add value to a book. And so we'll have that published. As a matter of fact, right before I came on, I was working on that one. And we'll have that published for the conference and make it available. And it'll be a quick – it's a book in our AHA That series, so it's a quick read, 140 bite-sized quotes, 7 blog posts, and the content is phenomenal, which I could say that now. Before we actually had it crowdsourced, I was a little worried because I just didn't know what to expect. But it turns out the people who contributed did a great job, and it's one of those aha messages that go across the board because we have such a diverse group of people who are C-suite network advisors. Some of it is how to do effective business. Some of it is how to do effective people. Like, how can you be an effective person? How do you do meditation? How do you keep your health up? How do you get more time in the day? It's really – I can't wait for that one. That'll be fun to come out.
Did you actually print his newest book that he just got in? He he just got the beta or the
is it the hero
free
factor?
Copies. Yeah. Did you do that one?
No, he has a number of different relationships with different publishers.
Yeah,
so I'm not involved with that one. But we've done books with a number of C-suite executives. So a guy by the name of Eddie Turner did a book with us, and it's basically 140 effective techniques for emerging leaders. We did Laura Lowell, who's also an executive. She did a book which is basically leadership potential. It's showing off your leadership and not just who you are and what you say. So it's called Maximize Your Leadership Influence. And it's who you are, how you say it, and how you dress. And then we've got an upcoming book. I don't know if you know, given that you know these names, a guy by the name of Bill Wallace. We're working with Bill. He runs a group in Dallas called Success North Dallas. He's the number one servant leader I've ever met in my life. And so I'm excited about Bill's book because it's really how to live a life of benefit by helping other people be successful. It's crazy. It's a beautiful message. Can't wait to get that one out too.
Were you at the meeting that the C-suite meeting that we had for the heroes with him and Damon John up in New York?
No, I missed that one.
Okay.
I don't make all. You know, it's one of those things. I wish I could make all the meetings. But yeah, were you at that one?
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Almost crossed paths.
Yeah.
And you would have seen Daniel Mitchell. He kind of sticks out in the crowd. You would have seen Daniel.
Oh.
He has these top hats on every day.
You guys made. I agree. I saw your graphics. So.
That's Daniel
every
day.
So.
Yes.
I'm to Jeffrey. I'm the ketchup man.
Yes. Yes. He just come out the ketchup book here a while back. We just come out with a Victorian ketchup recipe.
Yeah, a couple
book.
Hundred Victorian era ketchup
book.
Recipes. Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
super cool. That's
fun.
So, I'm sorry, I got us off topic there, but you know, I just had to ask when you were sitting there talking about C-suite. I was like he's got to know Jeffrey if he's talking about C-suite.
Right.
Yeah.
No problem. I'm happy to happy to talk with you offline about that as well. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. That is neat. And I wanted to talk and ask you about, because we try to tell people, because me and Stephen, Daniel's actually one of our authors. We run a press called Seven Star Press. And we have, 20 plus authors now. But we try to tell creatives as a whole, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Do try to do different things. So that's why we do podcasts. We do, YouTube and all these different things. And you talk about that, taking one piece of content, turning it into five or different platforms. So could you elaborate on your ideas about that?
We covered a little bit of that earlier.
But what I would say, so I'm going to take you on a slightly different trail, if that's really okay. Because we covered that before in the Thought Leader Life, is really the how do you take a single piece of content, put it on multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's interesting is that the world has changed. And
exactly.
As a publisher, you know that. As people who are in the marketplace who want to write their books, you don't know this yet, so you know. Most people do. Some people don't. It's not a big deal. But let me tell you, generally speaking, you're not going to make money on book sales.
Right.
It's just the world that I saw in 2005 was, with all the things happening in the world, in the climate, that we were going to see the democratization of book publishing. And what I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is we are there. Anyone who wants to publish their book can put it into a Word document, go to CrateSpace, and say publish. So if you want to be a published author, it is snap your fingers that easy. So the question becomes, how do you take what you do and how do you make it effective for you as a person, as an individual, as a artist, as an entrepreneur, as a business person, whatever it is, how do you become effective with your book? So step one is you have to make sure whether you do it yourself or you let somebody else do it for you, you got to choose a company that's going to produce a product that you like. Simple, right? Similar to having a LinkedIn profile. You need to have a LinkedIn profile that is attractive, that's exciting, that people are interested in. The second thing is, and I want to come back to what we do with AHA That. I don't have any competition. I only have potential partners. So I want to tell you what I do with AHA That. We'll come back to that. But I want to say is once you have your book, the question to think about is what are you doing with it, right? This is the hard piece that authors have a hard time. And I've published over 800 books, and I've had authors who've asked me to sign NDAs before they could tell me about the concept of their book, because once they tell it to me, I'm going to want to print it myself. And obviously, I don't sign NDAs for books like that. And what I can also tell you, there isn't anything you can write about unless you're a current celebrity today and you're doing a tell-all story. There isn't really anything you can write about that's going to take off like hotcakes. I've had five potential authors, I said no to all, who told me that their book is going to sell more copies than the Bible. And the problem is when people have that unrealistic expectation, you can never solve it. So it's better not to start.
Right.
So the thing to be thinking about is you're creating this asset called a book, and what is it there for? The book is there to get people to know you and to get people to trust you, because you now are demonstrating in a book what you do well. So if you have a friend who works at a company, or if you work at a large company who may buy large quantities of book, and you know your book is going to sell before you start, well, then you know you're going to be successful in that way. Otherwise, what's your monetization strategy? And I'm telling you, it's not book sales. Your monetization strategy is that I'm speaking primarily for nonfiction authors. I don't play in the fiction space. So if you're a fiction writer, please ignore all this because I don't mean to offend. If you're a nonfiction writer, how you monetize is you get speaking engagements, you get consulting engagements, you get to create, and fill in the blank. Your book's intent is to allow you to open up the door so you could do more. And so the thing is, and this is the funny part, and let's go back to, you go to a C-suite network event and you meet, say, 10 people who could absolutely be your prospect, and you have 10 books with you. Do you try to sell them your book for $20 each, or do you sign the autograph and say how cool they are and you give away your book? And the answer to that question is going to determine whether or not you're successful or not, not just with your book, but also in life. And the answer is you've got the most amazing business card in the world. And if you sign the book and make it personalized for the person and eliminate the friction that's appropriate for them to get a copy of your book, now they're going to take the book home and they'll take their book to the office and it'll be on their desk, or they'll give it to one of their employees and say, hey, read this, right? The best thing you can do as an author of your book is give your book to the people who are going to hire you to do what you're really going to make money on. So if you're an artist, get your book to the places of where people may hire you as an artist, and that's your job. So yeah, I got off for a little bit on a tangent to the question, but it's really the aspect of a book is to open up doors for you to do something else. And for those people who are lucky enough, and we have 800 books, I write nice royalty checks to a number of our authors. That said, they're making 5 to 10 times as much money, and actually in my case, probably in some cases 100 times as much money in their consulting business than they are with the checks I'm writing.
Right. Right. Yep, that's where the other streams of revenue come in. And like you said, I never thought about it that way, but handing a book is like, you know, an Uber business card, because it is going to be passed down, you know, to a friend, to a family member. They're going to say, oh, I met this person. This person's really cool, man. You got to read this book, you know. Yeah, that's something to think of. It's an aha moment.
Well, it's just like, you know, the first thing that I did when I got my Ketchup book, I sent a copy of it to Jeffrey. And
there you go.
There's a picture of him, you know, that he posted on his page, Twitter page, LinkedIn page, and stuff like that, I think, of him reading it on the airplane while he's flying.
Nice. Nice.
So,
nice.
See,
yeah,
there you go.
That's very nice.
That's what, in today's world, people know this, but that's called social proof. The more people who have celebrity status who can be seen holding your product and reading your product or holding you or putting their arms around you, or when you go to a conference with Damon John, taking a picture with Damon John and posting it on social media and anywhere else you can, is going to help you with your credibility, your social proof.
Right.
Agreed. Agreed.
So.
Well, Stephen, what was your other question that you had?
Well, he's gotten into the territory, because I was curious, you know, definitely about Mitchell's and, you know, experience in the publishing industry, because, you know, when I read that you had started 4 publishing companies that had more than 800 titles, I was like, wow, because, you know, our press has been around for 10 years as of this October, and we've got maybe 110 to 120 titles out. And so, yeah, it's like, yeah, you have been very active. And what, you know, you referenced being in, you know, pre ebook, you know, the big ebook movement, you were, you know, doing publishing work. And now, you know, when you have publishing, you know, very democratic publishing kind of climate, what major changes have you had to do strategically to remain effective after, you know, the big shift to, you know, open access, where there's not as much gatekeeping?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question, and I'll open up with a story if you don't mind. So, if it's okay, because you guys seem to be flexible on, can I tell 2 stories and merge them together? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah,
you can do what you want.
Floor is yours.
You're sweet. Thank you. So, the first thing that happened is I always wanted to make it easier for people to write. So when I created a publishing company, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to create a publishing company that I would like to work with, right? So we created, the first brand was called Happy About. The books were 20,000-25,000 words. Typically took the author about 120 hours to write, and then we would publish. Then came up with another imprint called 42 Rules. 42 Rules. The books in there, we got about 26, I think over 100 books in Happy About, maybe with the ebooks, probably more like 2, 2 and a quarter. But then in 42 Rules, I think I've got 26 books there. And with 42 Rules, the books are comprised of 42 500-word articles. And so if you've been blogging for a year, it is very easy to write a 42 Rules book, and typically that's about 80 hours. I'm thinking, that's easy. Many people are going to do that. And we came up with another imprint called Think Aha. And the Think Aha imprint is, if you've been tweeting, you can then put 140 quotes together. And that, with some blog posts, you can now have a Think Aha book. And typically, it took our authors about 60 hours to write a Think Aha book. And at some point in time, I created an iPhone app, because at the time, anyone who created an iPhone app was successful. And so when somebody wrote a physical book, we would then create a book to go on the iPhone app that they can then share the content on social media. So as a publisher, I thought it made a lot of sense to say, hey, write the physical book first, and I'll give you your iPhone app ebook. Well, when I became a thought leader architect, I kind of looked at that decision, and I kind of thought, God, that sounds really stupid. Why am I causing people and forcing them to do a physical book when if we did the ebook, it would be easier? So that's when I renamed the company and created this thing called Aha That. We have a three-step writing process for people who want to write books. And if you want to write a book, it could take as little as 8 hours to write an Aha book. And for those who are interested, go to ahathat.com/author. And a book is comprised of 140 bite-sized quotes and 7 blog posts. So the interesting part is I started creating that, and now the Aha That platform where books or Aha messages are shared from, that has grown. And the number of authors who can write Aha books have grown. So one part of that story is when I changed my hat from a publisher hat to a thought leadership hat, then all of a sudden I had a different point of view, and it was like, well, how do we make it easier for people to get their brand out? Now, the other thing, given that you guys have been publishing for as long as I have, this doesn't apply to you. Let me just say how it applies to me. I realized that between 2005 and 2017 that I was serving the wrong audience. And so it was a really big aha moment for me. So let me tell you how I got there. It's between 2005 and 2017, I basically published the books of authors who did the writing. So it's basically do it yourself. They do the writing and we'll do the publishing. And what happened is at the end of 2016, I ran a Kickstarter for the Aha That platform. I wanted to add more functionality to Aha That. The Kickstarter hit 250% of goal. I was really excited about that.
Wow.
And part of it, thank you, part of it is that 20 people paid that when they wrote their Aha book, we would publish it. So let's fast forward a year. End of 2017, two amazing things happened. One, I had the chance to do a TED Talk, and that just helped me completely transform who I was and how I was thinking and what I was doing. The other thing that happened is a year had gone by since 20 people paid us to write their Aha book, which would take them 8 hours. Do you guys want to guess how many people of the 20 actually wrote their book?
10?
Oh, man. Love you.
Or is it 20?
I thought it was 20. I thought it was going to be 20. You know what it was? It was three. Three
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And so let me tell you what this says. So as soon as I say this, you're going to go, holy cow. 17 people couldn't find 8 hours in a 12-month period to do something they paid for that would
right.
be beneficial for them.
I can relate. I understand that.
Oh,
doesn't surprise me.
We
nope.
see that.
Nope.
Yeah, it does surprise us. We see that all the time.
It's crazy, though. Well, but in this case, I got money, right? And I stole all services to 17 people, right? And that's not how I want to do business. So I started talking to some of my friends who were internet marketers, and they said, wait, you had a 15% penetration rate, utilization rate? They go, that's great. And I'm thinking, I am definitely in the wrong business, right? So what happened, and by the way, I don't mean to offend you, but let me tell you what I realized the publisher business model was after that happened to me. Are you ready? We hope that somebody writes a book. We hope if they write a book, they find our firm. And we hope if they find our firm, they decide to publish with us.
Right.
Guys, that's a whole lot of hope. Right? So I kind of realized that I had an issue, right? And the issue was simply, am I serving the right audience or should I change? And so in 2018, and actually when I said three people wrote their book, it actually was really just two. And what I did is I ghostwrote as an experiment. I ghostwrote the book for one of the people, and that's when a new business was born. And so what we do now is I'll do a two-hour interview with an expert, with somebody who basically solves a problem. I actually call it a CPOP. They have a customer point of pain. So I interview somebody on their CPOP. What problem do they solve for their clients for 2 hours? I then pair them up with a graduate of the AHA That Writing School, and then we write the book. The book has 140 bite-sized quotes and 7 blog posts. We produce it in hardcover, paperback, PDF, Kindle, and also on the AHA That platform, and we run an Amazon best-selling campaign. And the author will spend somewhere between the two-hour interview plus another 3 to 8 hours reviewing the content. So in this case, they spent their entire life or a portion of their life becoming an expert in an area, solving a problem for a client base, and then they spend 10 minutes getting their Amazon best-selling book out. I'm sorry, not 10 minutes, 10 hours.
10 hours.
And, mm-hmm. and so that's the current business model, and it has opened up. So once I had that business model working, and it's, by the way, it's beautiful. When I can look somebody in the eye and they can tell me their CPOP, and I could say, hey, we could do that book, I can guarantee that I'm going to deliver a book, right? That's so much better than having 85% of the people who pay you money not take advantage of their services. And so
right.
when I started thinking about that, I'm thinking, well, what else should I do? So that's when AHA That Radio came about, right? It's like, well, we want to be able to showcase our authors more. So if I help our authors read a book and create an audiobook, we can distribute it on the audiobook platforms and also stream it on when appropriate on the AHA That Radio. Right? So there are now, because the model is let's help our authors be successful, there are a number of different business models and partners I'm working with to deliver more value to the customers. So anyway, that's how I sort of evolved as a publisher, particularly post 2017.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, definitely appreciate that. Yeah, because it's always interesting to hear the stories of publishers and how they adapted to the seismic shifts in the industry. I mean, there's been some obviously big changes, and that's a really cool way to focus on it, because your publishing focus. I mean, yeah, your titles seem to have a lot of informational value, and it seems like you focus on the nonfiction side of the spectrum, And how much, as far as You talked about a lot about the ebook side of things. How much of an emphasis do you have on print, or is that part of your model currently?
Oh, yeah. So big part of the model. So the thing that's interesting, I try to follow the trends that other people are doing and spend a lot of time on the AHA That and social media and ebooks. And it turns out at the end of the day, having a physical book in hand, here, wait, listen to this. Are you ready? That's me knocking on an AHA book that the author spent 10 hours writing and has delivered over 6 figures of revenue for them. Right?
Nice.
Not in book sales.
Nice.
But they've used the book to get to the next level. So typically what happens is we're producing a book that we print color on the inside, hardcover and paperback. And the other thing that's fascinating, particularly in today's time constrained world, if you have a book that's 140 bite-sized quotes and 7 blog posts, if you actually sat down and read it to cover, it'd be 20 to 30 minutes. So what's interesting is there's no fluff in there, right? All the fluff that's part of a traditional book is gone, so it's just the AHA messages who are designed to attract your attention. And so in some cases, if you're a executive and you're reading one of these books, probably after reading 3 or 4 AHA messages, you're now convinced that the person who gave you the book is actually an expert in their space. And do you care if they read any more? Now, here's where the creatives have a hard time. Creatives say, yes, I want them to read my whole book. The point is, if your goal is not to make money on book sales, your goal is to get them to decide they want to like you, hire you, because you're an expert who can help solve their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So in this case, yeah, mm-hmm. paperback hardcover is powerful because it's the thing that people put their arms around. Again, this is nonfiction, and this is presenting yourself as the expert that people recognize immediately you're an expert.
Right.
Right. So let me give you an example. So the TED Talk I did was called Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. So for those of you who Google that if you just Google that, you'll get to it. Go to YouTube, you can get to it, or you do Mitchell Levy TED Talk, you'll get to that. And one of the things that I did is I actually interviewed four other people to be part of my book. Basically, I executed an episode of Thought Leader Life. So I was the host and co-host. I had four guests come on, and what we did is I then had my team write a book from that. So I might have spent probably spent 6-7 hours on the whole thing. The content is beautiful. And so I want to read to you a specific aha message just to give you a feeling what an aha does. And an aha is like anything else in life. The goal when you give your 30-second pitch or your 3-second pitch or whenever you're in front of a group of people and you want to share who you are, you need to say something memorable. So an aha message, the goal is to make people say, aha, I understand, I see it, it makes sense to me. So aha number 4 from the book, Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader, is written by a guy by the name of Robert Clancy. Robert has 500,000 followers on Facebook. And what Robert says is that good thought leaders are at the top of the mountain. Great thought leaders are at the bottom of the mountain helping others climb up. That's an aha message, right? Because when you hear that, you say to yourself, well, am I a thought leader? Am I a good thought leader? What am I doing to be a great thought leader? What am I doing tomorrow to help other people climb up the mountain? Am I really trying hard to make that happen? Is that part of my business strategy and approach? Right? It's about servant leadership. Am I being the right servant leader? Right? And if a single phrase that takes 7 seconds or less to read can cause you to have an entire shift in your thinking process, that's an aha message. So I got a book that has 140 of them. Right? And that's what's powerful is you only need to read 1, 2, or 3 of them to go, hey, here's an expert in the space. So that's kind of the focus is less around the creative energy of what people do, because the other thing that's fascinating, there are so many ways and places to put your creative energy out there. So what I would say in the old days, we used to write books with a specific intention of showing that we're the expert, the thought leader, the expert in the world, and it solved multiple problems. And mm-hmm. they were used in classrooms. They were used for training. They were used for education, right? And those books typically, instead of selling for $19.95, they were, probably 300-400 pages long. They would sell for $24.95, and there wasn't a lot of content out there, so people would sell 10, 25, 100,000 copies, and you'd make money from books. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, that same book would sell 1,000 copies, 100 copies, maybe 40 copies.
Right.
And you would sell it for $19.95, or maybe you'd still sell it for $24.95. And so how many people are going to buy the book for $24.95? And so,
no, they're not.
And that book would typically take a couple hundred hours to write. So instead, mm-hmm. you could spend 10 hours to write a book with us and take all the content that you would put into your more traditional book and put that into an online course and charge $199 for the online course. And basically, you're giving the book away, to allow them to say, hey, I'm interested in this person. Yeah, let me take the course. So how many courses are you going to sell for $200 each? Versus books you're going to sell for $24, and by the time you're done, you get $1 a book. It's not worth it, right?
Right.
So the book is the lead gen. The book is the thing that attracts people's attention. It is that signal that says, I want to play with you. And playing could be a number of different ways, including if your goal is truly to educate, to learn, to teach, to transform, well, create an online course and charge for that. And then from there, you can create a mastermind or a consulting day, or there's a number of different ways to monetize yourself. And that's the direction we're seeing people move these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a shift. And for so you don't deal with any like fiction books at all now. It's just mainly focusing then on the nonfiction.
I couldn't figure out how to make money.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I tried.
It's hard. It's hard.
We understand.
We're in the trenches here. Yeah. It's rough. Yeah. It's like a yo-yo, you know, and everything cycles, as you know, in business. It's just like chasing your tail, you know. What works now won't work tomorrow. You know, what works for one person's not going to work for the next. It's like I always say, it's like nailing pudding to a wall. You know, you can't do what everybody else is doing and expect it's going to work for you 100%. But in the nonfiction world, yeah, if you're solving a problem for somebody, that's a good thing, because obviously they're going to come back, and, mm-hmm. and you're always going to have an audience base out there, you know. Or even like Daniel and his recipes, you know. It's a smaller book. People want to know how to make things. That's what they go to, or how to do things, or how to be more successful. And, yeah, that helps your exposure.
And, and like you said, the book itself can become part of a larger program, like an online course, you know, seminars,
right.
Things like that. And that's something that's mm-hmm. not available, obviously, to those of us in the fiction world, unfortunately. But
right.
I will say,
unless you go,
Mitchell did encourage me on thought leadership, because, by God, we did start a convention in Louisville that is
yes.
all about helping people get to the top of the mountain. So at least we are sort of in his ballpark on that. So
Mitchell,
yay.
I will be emailing you about our convention after this talk
yes.
we've had. So be looking for an email in the next couple of days. But we do have a convention.
Oh, yeah.
We just got done actually 2 weeks ago, called the Imaginarium. It is completely
yeah.
based around the creative writing. It's become the Midwest largest.
Yeah, servant
creative
leadership.
Writing.
Your servant leadership model fits perfectly with it.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's what I was a little encouraged by that, even if, like
yes,
I said, we mainly...
We cover all genres, but we have a film festival side, we have gaming side too, because that all ties in, and we have, like, I mean, every genre. There's everybody there, from New York Times bestsellers to people that are just starting out, because
mm-hmm.
we want it accessible to everyone, so the people starting out can
mm-hmm.
get the knowledge to meet
Come
to the
together.
Next level, and those who are at that level can also, you know, strive for a higher level. So, yeah,
well, here's my
aha
moment, because what we have done is, you know, we've got, you know, the game designers, the filmmakers there, so that authors can,
mm-hmm.
you know, explore and grow into other platforms of media.
There
even.
You go.
And so
yes.
there you go. I mean, that's fits with that concept. But
yeah,
so, yeah, I am
for what I would think about if I put my thought leader architect hat, or maybe my aha guy hat, and I think about an event like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What typically as the organizer of the event, you're thinking about the bigger picture. How does it all work? How does it fit together? How's
mm-hmm.
each segment work? What I'm going to say to you is try to think about each specific target market you're trying to solve, right? So are there vendors in the gaming industry who want to meet other gamers or other users?
Mm-hmm.
Are there
mm-hmm.
vendors in and fill in the blank? Who's interested? Because although the audiences sound similar, each audience attracts a different group of people, and maybe there are different things you can do, different people who serve each part of the audience. But at the end of the day, if you could attract people into the room, there are people who are interested in sponsoring the fact that you're there. And
mm-hmm.
but instead
mm-hmm.
of looking at the overall sponsors, see if you could get sponsors who are interested in each vertical market you deploy. And maybe what happens is you can create a ongoing newsletter. Maybe it's free for the people in each vertical market. Or maybe you create a monthly subscription site for each market, bringing them something new right? So maybe if it's in the fiction world and you're thinking about and think about, you have to break the fiction world into a number of different segments. If I just pick romance novels, for instance, if you created a membership site for romance novels, then maybe what happens is you go to the romance novel authors and say, hey, give me a chapter that I can share. And part of the membership site is that you're going to be sharing as many different authors' models as, or books as possible, because, you know, if somebody wants to read a chapter and a summary of the author and a chapter from the book, they may get hooked, right? And so it's a way that you could grow. I mean, I'm just thinking there's, if you put your hat on, if you point people together like this, there are many different ways to monetize. And before you even start or plan for the next one, you should be thinking about, well, who are the players that want to be here and might want to pay me money to be involved in some way or the other? And that's what you got to think about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's more to think about. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Because
you know, we've already started for next year. I mean, you start.
It's year round. It's year round.
It's year round for this conference. But yeah, and we want to help people. That's why, you know, me and Stephen, we do the podcast. We do, I guess we are sort of like thought leader architects in a way that.
Yeah, it's not as effective as Mitchell, but
we have not perfected it. We are trying.
You're trying to give back to the world in a certain way. And what I want to make sure you don't forget is you, and this is probably the most important thing to think about. At the end of the day, we all need to deal with our food and shelter. So you need to make enough money that you can put a roof on your head and feed yourself and your kids and live a reasonable life. So what happens when you're creating an event like this, put the hat on. So next time you guys have a meeting, sit down and say, how are we going to monetize? This is not a bad four-letter word. And that's one of the problems creatives have, is they think worried about money is a four-letter word. But it's not, right? So think about some creative ways and people you could approach and things you could do to monetize. And maybe it's a tiny shift. Maybe it's a big shift. You don't know. But if you approach your event from the how am I monetizing it first, were you able to attract enough people for your event?
Yes.
We got
– Yeah, we've grown every year.
Yes, we've grown, you know, heavily every year.
5 years
we were
running.
We were at over 1,000 people this year, but we want to at least, you know, quadruple that. I would like to at least quadruple that.
That's beautiful. So if you're growing every year and attracting an audience like that, there are definitely ways you can monetize, right? As you're thinking about things to do, right? Without violating the principles of what your conference is about.
Right.
And this is where if you think outside the box, what I'll tell you is everyone will be doing that in some way or the other. So you're getting enough people in the room. Who cares about those people in the room? Who would be interested in having you distribute or get their name out or share their mailing list? Or there are traditional ways, and then there are more fun ways. So, guys, be creative.
Yes, there you go. You gave me food for thought. It was an aha moment.
Yeah. We're going to have many more aha moments after the show, I guarantee you.
Yes, Daniel's really good about brainstorming with us. We brainstorm a lot. Yes. So now we would be saying, aha. Yes. So Mitchell will be brought up in many conversations. We're like, aha.
Yes, Mitchell will be a household name here now on.
So if your ears burn, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
All right, I hear you.
A little over 5 minutes left, a little more than 5 minutes left in the show. So I do want to, I know we've covered a lot of ground tonight, but is there an area of your current activity that we may not have touched on tonight, just to make sure we get it in before the show's complete?
Oh, I appreciate that. I'll just do a slow, with 5 minutes, I'll just do a slower burn of how to reach you, right? So if you want to be inspired, we have a small amount of content at the moment, but you can go to ahathatradio.com and just listen to the authors read their AHA books, and they're chock full of AHA messages. Absolutely beautiful. And that list, that number of people there and what they're saying will continue to grow. If you're looking to grow your breath on social media and have more people follow you, whether it's 5 minutes a day or more, we've got 46,000 AHA messages at AHA That. So it's ahathat.com, ahathat.com, and it's free to use, free to share. No hidden agenda there, and feel free to share content. And every time you share a piece of content, the author themselves, so your audience gets the benefit from it, and then the author whose content it is, they're tagged. So they get to see that you're sharing their content as well. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
If you're interested in writing a book, whether you publish with us or not, at ahathat.com/author, we have a 3-step writing process. And what I'd say is look at step one. Step one is what, as you guys as a publisher, what you need. It's 4 questions that every author needs to answer. So if you want to write a book, or maybe if you want to do anything in your life, it's business 101. It's 4 simple questions, your name, your bio, the title of your book, some sections. Probably the most important thing is question number one, which is why we named it question or numbered it question number one. And what it says is, who is the expected reader and what will they get from the book? What it really says, who is your prospect and what is their pain point?
Right.
So, you know, for those people who are not, even if you're not going to publish with us, feel free to go there, grab the content. And it's really powerful because at the end of the day, you need to answer those questions, whether it's for the book, you know, for you guys as a publishing company or for some other project. And I was going to say step number two is also interesting because I've curated over 70,000 AHA messages, and that is my best practices. So it's a single-page PDF on best practices of writing a good AHA message. And then probably the only other thing, I think that covers everything. We have more projects, other things we're working on. But if you want to reach out to me, first feel free to take a look at my TED Talk. It's fun. We didn't really cover that at all. So you could Google Mitchell Levy TED Talk or Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. And then feel free to reach out to me. Google my name, Mitchell Levy, and reach out to me on a social media platform that you want to play on. So LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Snapchat, Pinterest. And what I like to do is talk on the platform that the person normally resides on, because that's really how you want to communicate.
Right.
And I guess if I have another minute, the last thing I'll say, for anyone who's a parent, anyone who wants to teach their children or coach on good, strong values, take a look at the book. Right now it's the Amazon campaign, so the Kindle version is free. Take a look at the book of Hermione Granger's Unofficial Life Lessons and Words of Wisdom. And it's a powerful book, 140 AHA messages, which just has things like, when in doubt, go to the library.
Aha.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. We probably should say go to the library and Google something.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, definitely. You have been a phenomenal guest. You have gave a lot of food for thought. Even our chat room has agreed.
Been chiming in all through the night about how, they're really enjoying tonight's episode.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been commenting quite a bit.
Thank you
tonight.
So much.
And definitely would like to have you back in 2019 for sure. And I know, Holly will be getting in touch with you. But, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, because as Tony from Hydra Publications asked earlier, when does this guy sleep?
Of a time to ask me as other times, because there's not a lot at the moment, but I got to fix that.
Meditation.
Yes. Well, you have a good night, Mitchell, and thank you for joining us on the Star Chamber Show. Take care.
Thank
My
you so
pleasure.
Much.
Thanks for having me, guys. Okay.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
And we'll see you all next week, Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, for another episode of the Star Chamber Show. Good night, everybody.
Night.